Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletop from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Mexico is Monica Ramirez. Monica is partner at Acerto, which is a consulting firm there, and she's been a frequent speaker at our conferences on anti-money laundering, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. First of all, Monica, thanks for visiting us.
Hi, Adam. Thank you. I'm happy to be here to talk about money laundering.
Oh, our pleasure having you. Now, for financial institutions, money laundering is an enormous problem, but most corporations don't have it as high on the radar and may think it's not really a significant problem. How great a risk is it for the corporate sector?
Okay, well, let's talk about figures so that people are aware of how great the problem is. The United Nations estimates that in a year, money laundering globally amounts to 3 to 5% of global domestic product. This could be anywhere between $3 and $7 trillion US dollars, according to last year's figures. So, speaking of Mexico, approximately $50 billion US dollars are laundered each year, and drug traffickers alone contribute $25 billion US dollars to this figure. In the financial sector, between 3 and 10% of the cases reviewed end up in a file reported to the authorities. The chance of a person being punished for laundering money in Mexico is only 2%. Yes, you heard correctly, 2%. Meanwhile, money laundering operations grow on average 20% annually. 20, a 2 and a 0. So, the level of corruption affecting law enforcement authorities, particularly at the state level, undermines their ability to investigate and prosecute money laundering. This is shown. In 13 years, only 44 people have been convicted. Now, speaking about international figures, it is estimated that 60% of the money laundering risk is not covered by companies in a year. That is to say that companies don't have 100% coverage to keep themselves protected from money laundering risk. 98% of profits obtained by criminal activity are not confiscated and remain at the disposal of criminals. And only 10% of suspicious transaction reports received by financial intelligence units are further investigated after collection. And even worse, that figure has remained unchanged since 2006. Add to this, the economic crisis generated by the pandemic has brought several risks. It is more likely that financial institutions face the challenge to open bank accounts without meeting the customer face to face, or that they easily speed up payments, or that the banks give more loans without proper validation. What I mean is that financial institutions could relax key controls in order to compensate for the loss of income. And what this means is that it gives criminals more chances to launder money. The sanctions are another issue rather than a solution. They are seen as an administrative procedure rather than a punishment. This does not help to correct the failures that the financial institutions have made. It's easy to negotiate with authority and continue operating without taking care of proper controls. It's not a surprise that we continue to hear about so many banks involved in money laundering scandals. That's how serious the problem is.
Wow, it's amazing how large those numbers are. Now, how has the pandemic changed the risk profile? You've already touched on it a bit, but it seems as if it's really having a profound impact.
Yes. The pandemic has changed the risk profile. You see, the launderer has had to adapt to the circumstances at the international level, both to be able to launder money and to continue obtaining profit from illegal activities. Why? Because legal trade covers up their illicit activities and helps them to launder money. With many businesses closed and lockdowns, it's harder for criminals to cover up their illicit activities with legal trade. Several methods of money laundering have been detected during the pandemic. Let's see. The first one, international trade. In ancient times, when we used to travel, remember that? Mm-hmm. Criminals use people to transport cash, known as money mules. But with the pandemic, they have had to switch to seaway. They camouflage the cash between the products in the ships, or they over or under invoicing shipments, falsely duplicating shipments, or falsely declaring the contents. Dirty money is disguised under the pretext of legitimate trade transactions. So it's difficult to detect it because it happens through alternative channels and not through the financial system. Second method, criminals are recruiting more than ever students and housewives to open bank accounts. Why? Most of them have a clean financial record and they don't raise any suspicion. And believe it or not, it has been detected an increase in the use of dogs for cash delivery, as dog walks are allowed during lockdown. Amazing, right?
Amazing.
Money mules play a key role because they act as intermediaries between the crime and the transfer of illicit money to the criminal. Third method, cryptocurrencies. In order to avoid any anti-money laundering controls, criminals are using illegal exchangers to launder dirty money, using, of course, cryptocurrencies. Fourth, they are also helping businesses in economic crisis by offering loans at an incredible low rate. Sounds great, right? But suddenly, they will start harassing the business owner because their ultimate goal is to take over the business and use it to launder money, just as a front company. Now, regarding how the launderers continue to obtain profits from illegal activities, there have been several scams detected. Pay attention. One, they are working together with hackers to mimic banks' websites to obtain the person's bank information and, of course, steal it. Two, I bet this one you have heard it, Adam. They are offering COVID vaccines, masks, and any other medicines which are currently in high demand. Of course, all these items are low quality. And also, they are creating false websites about COVID information. Three, criminals are also using investment offerings. They know most people are in an economic crisis and money is needed. Four, philanthropy, since they know many people are willing to help others. All this is done to steal people's money, and in a certain way, balance the losses they have had with the decrease in drug sales, prostitution, or any other crime they used to do before they were affected by the pandemic. So be aware of the change in risk profile. You don't want to be another victim.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to see how many new ways they found to do things, including I'm just sort of fascinated by the whole using dog walks as a way to drop cash back and forth. Now, how can corporations find themselves caught up in a money laundering scheme?
Interesting question. Let's see. By several reasons. The top three. Here they go. One, companies think they are too far away from money laundering. This won't happen to us, we are not a financial company, or money laundering only happens in countries with cartels or the ones where there is a lot of drug trafficking. Nothing could be more wrong. By thinking in this way, companies don't assess the money laundering risk, and of course, they are more vulnerable to it. Two, companies don't have effective controls because the compliance function is not given priority within the organizational structure. Therefore, the money laundering risk is not sufficiently being addressed. Three, the Know Your Customer or KYC is not carried out properly. As we know, the first part is that companies ask for information, but the most important part is to verify that information. And most companies rely on the customer's self-declaration. If the paper looks good, it must be. Here is an interesting fact. Only financial companies have access to the Mexican authorities' blacklist or sanctions list. If you are wondering why, this is because it's classified as confidential. For non-financial sectors, they can only use the one from OFAC or United Nations. So how to do a proper verification if there is no access to the national crime list? There is something to bear in mind. Criminals use front men or put assets under the names of family members, representatives, and they use a lot of front and shell companies. In this case, a cross-examination of the figures and a surprise business visit to the facilities can help companies not to be used to launder money. That's why knowing your customer and the verification process is so important in preventing money laundering. Lastly, pay attention to the information. That store in the mall that due to the pandemic is obviously not operating and continues to make large deposits of cash every week should raise a suspicion, people, because it doesn't make sense. The criminals also make mistakes and you can detect it. Take notes of all this so your company doesn't find itself caught in a money laundering scheme.
Well, there's certainly a lot there to take notice of. Now, what should compliance teams be focused on if they want to improve their management of this risk?
Well, as I answered in the last question, money laundering risk assessment is not a top priority, and that needs to change. This is what I recommend. Constant training, people, from basic training to constantly improving new best practices. From what I have detected, some compliance officers don't even know what the risk is. And if they don't know what the risk is, how can they prevent money laundering from happening? If they show the effectiveness of their work, then more money for the budget will come. Check this out. In Mexico, only 42% of companies have a financial crime prevention program. Only 48% have a compliance officer. Only 55% have evaluated the program, and only 77% have a code of ethics. What do these figures tell us? That there is plenty to do, but there is lack of resources to do it. How is it possible that less than 50% have a financial crime prevention program? This goes hand to hand with what I have just said about companies think that they are too far away from money laundering. That's why they also don't evaluate their programs on a regular basis. If people know what money laundering is and its potential impact, then more people will take it seriously. It's no wonder that at an international level, there are not enough staff employed in compliance areas. And here comes another figure. 28% of compliance teams can keep up with the volume of alerts by anti-money laundering systems. This says a lot. Why bother to have a system with alerts if no one does the follow-up? As long as qualified staff and the appropriate technology are lacking, it will be very difficult to improve the management of the money laundering risk.
So finally, I want to take advantage of your location and expertise. Anything that compliance teams need to be watching out for in their operations in Mexico these days, not just in money laundering, but in other risk areas as well?
Well, that's easy. They need to be aware of the high level of corruption that exists in Mexico, and that due to the pandemic, it has increased. Anyone listening to this could say, of course, it's obvious. But my point goes further. Companies are getting used to making facilitation payments. This is to speed up the process to facilitate paperwork, license, permit, or business transactions. More than 70% of Mexican companies accept that they do it. Bribery is high then on the facilitation payment, when in Mexico, although this is a common practice, it's totally illegal. By allowing bribery, companies are contributing to the corruption that keeps occurring, and this crime is a major obstacle in the race to combat money laundering. That's why there is so much impunity, and that impunity, money laundering, makes it possible for other criminal activities to continue happening. Lastly, with or without economic crisis or a pandemic, illicit money keeps flowing. It has been shown that in one way or another, illegal activities continue all around the world. It's just a matter of adaptation. Companies should be aware of this in order to protect themselves from money laundering, fraud, and corruption risks. If the criminals can easily adapt, why can't we?
Well, Monica, thank you for sharing these insights with us today. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.